And a deregulation that happened in the early 80s opened the door for this kind of thing. Now, when deregulation was actually took place, what were the proposed benefits to it?
Well, you know, the savings and loans were caught in this so-called interest rate squeeze. The interest rates were going up that they had to pay to attract deposits, yet they had all these long-term mortgage loans that were paying low interest rates. So they were getting caught in the squeeze. Now, I'd like to point out that the savings and loans that stayed with home mortgage lending and didn't get out all this wild speculative stuff survived and made it. So they could have just buttoned down the hatches and ridden it out, and they would have made it. But the deregulation, quote, unquote, allowed them to take the money, our tax dollars coming in, basically, depositors that were backed by tax dollars, and lend it out on speculative commercial ventures, raw land, existing buildings. You had all the wild stories about, you know, whorehouses getting, you know, loans on you know, Splash Town, one of these water ventures got a big loan from Robert Corson's savings loan. You know, all the wild stories on what the money was used for. The deregulation allowed the SNLs to lend on those things rather than just on homes.
And now they're proposing to deregulate banks. Is that right? What do you foresee happening if that happens?
Well, I'm not too sure. Fraud basically killed the savings and loans. And fraud is what will kill a financial institution. Very little else will. All of the financial institutions in this country that have been killed and failed have done so basically because of fraud. Now, if that's the only way a bank can go down. I mean banks, you know, it's like having a printing press. I mean, it's almost impossible to lose unless you start, you know, printing counterfeit money or something. The power structure in this country I don't think it's going to shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, these are their banks. It really wasn't their savings and loans. And the banks, you know, they really profited from the SNL debacle. They had a lot of underlying loans on this property that got paid off by the SNLs. Okay? And they didn't care where the SNLs went down. So I'm not as concerned about that. I mean, if we have a big bank failures and the taxpayers have to dip into taxpayers' dollars, then, you know, all it means is that these people have basically given up on this country. Because, I mean, why is they couldn't care less about SNLs? The banks are their babies. And, the only thing that can kill them is fraud.
But these, the heads of these banks are participating on an international market. Maybe they don't care about the country.
Well, that's a good, you know, interesting theory. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the banks, to see whether we have any widespread failures like we did in the SNL industry.
Something that I've been thinking about, you know, the mafia has existed for a long time. Human greed has existed for a long time. And now it seems that all of this has infiltrated our government. If the press isn't there to protect us and Congress isn't there to protect us and the Justice Department isn't there, what is happening to democracy and how in the world can we turn it around?
Well, you know, it's hard to believe that after I've researched this book, I really don't think that there's democracy in this country. I don't know what it is we've got. Maybe an aristocracy or something like that. But we don't have democracy. The public, you know, the founding fathers knew that the people had to have information to be able to govern themselves. And without that, I mean, that's the fundamental thing that distinguishes a democracy from anything else, that the people know what's going on and they can then control their government. And unless we know what's going on, we can't control our government and we don't have a democracy. And, you know, I'm not too optimistic that we're going to get back to that situation. you know, because the press is become more and more corporate dominated. Big corporations own, you know, the big media outlets. They're not interested in telling, letting the people in on what's going on. Congress isn't interested in letting, you know, the executive branch is not interested. There are no special interest groups out there fighting to get information to the public. And it's a very pessimistic situation. And, you know, the thing is that if things get out of too much, you know, out of control, where the people are really being beaten on, and you can see that happening now with the economy. I mean, the hundreds of thousands of the manufacturing jobs that we're losing are just, I mean, it's sucking the blood marrow of this country. And, you know, it's just ripe for revolution. I mean, the people in this country probably can just take so much. And it's not a good situation. And I don't trust the charitable instincts of our aristocracy to sort of, you know, hold back on their greed.
Do you think that this turnover, supposed turnover that's going to happen in Congress after these elections, is that going to stir anything up, do you think?
Well, I think that's one thing that I really should have said, that there might be some ways to change things, and that's get rid of the Congress. I mean, Congress is a big, big problem. I mean, that's one thing, you know, Bush is right about that, but he's right for the wrong reasons. Congress is just, they're not protecting the public interest anymore. I mean, they're all dominated by special interests, and they've all got their own little constituency, and that's one way. You know, if we got rid of everybody in Congress, things might change. I mean, if the people that take their place can see what's going to happen. And this happened in Texas back in the early 70s with the Sharpstown scandal. And there were a lot of new Texas legislators that came in, and they passed a lot of liberal open records and open meetings laws. But we're sort of back to business as usual now. I mean, it didn't last very long. And, you know, you have to be vigilant about it. I mean, maybe term limitation is one of the answers.
Pete Boudin, if the Congress had the will, could our government recover any of this money that you're talking about? Can any of the money be returned to the U.S. people?
Yes, I think so. Particularly anyone who's been convicted, any money they got can be, we can go after that. The Justice Department should and get it back. The question is, what about all the money, like the money paid to St. Joe Paper Company? What about the money to Adnan Khashoggi? What about the money to Walter Mischer's banks? Can we get any of that back? I think if you would have to prove fraud, if you could prove fraud, prove that the money was fraudulently conveyed, then you could get it back. And that's the main hurdle, proving fraud. Once you do that, then yes, you can get the money back.
So it is possible.
Yes, it is possible to track it. I mean, the Justice Department has said many times, oh, we can't track the money, it's too hard, it's too complicated, goes offshore, you know, goes to the Caymans, the Isle of Jersey, Switzerland, but that's not true. They can track it. All it takes is a will. They proved they could track it in a drug operation called Operation Polar Cap, where they tracked cash money from the United States going to the Medellin cartel, going down to Panama, and then coming back to the United States. And that's much harder to track than SNL money, where it's all in a paper or computer transactions.
So it all had to do with their will.
Yes.
They wanted to get Noriega in that case. In this case, what happened to Neil Bush when he was actually found guilty of illegal activity? What kind of financial burden did he suffer?
Well, they settled a case where he was accused of, you know, violating the rules and regulations, and you know, he got slapped on the wrist, promised not to do it again.
I wanted to ask you, recently Michael Wise the president of Silverado, was in fact indicted on felony charges. Neil Bush hasn't at all been mentioned in relation to that case. Would you suppose he might be liable, that they might be investigating him?
They should be investigating him. I mean, Michael Wise is the first indictment we've had out of Silverado after all these years, the first one. And, you know, Neil Bush should be a target of a grand jury investigation as to, you know, what he approved, why he approved it, how he benefited. Those are all questions that a federal grand jury should be extremely interested in knowing.
I have to ask you, you're not very inclined to liking lawyers. You've been abused in your work at the Houston Post. You're in law school now. Why?
Yes. I'm into abuse. No, seriously. I found I needed it for my job. It was another stone wall to doing my job. Not knowing the law, not being able to argue with lawyers was a stone wall in my job. And I needed to be able to do that to do my job well. And that's one of the reasons I'm here.
So are you going to go back to journalism?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any offers at the moment?
No, but I'm not looking for them. I mean, I want to write another book.
This is KPFK Los Angeles. We have been listening to Pete Bruton talking with Dennis Bernstein. The name of the book, The CIA, The Mafia, and George Bush.